You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Leona Mayer and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Hereford over the obstacles, all with the racing on the fibre sand at Southwell. That's the afternoon lineup, and Newcastle as well in the evening on there, all with a Tappeter surface. So three meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Orton. Joining me in the studio is Mr. Sam Turner. Hi, Sam.
Hello, Mark. So it was a bit presumptuous there, wasn't I? A bit premature, not for the first time.
Are you well, sir?
I'm very well. Yeah, I'm in good form. I've recovered from Cheltenham, I think. It took me a few days.
Yeah.
I was wiped out for a few days, I've got to be honest. Had a good day at Newbury, got wet Saturday, but enjoyed it in the company of Nick Luck and William Hill Radio for a couple of days this week. So, yeah, all good.
Mixing in all the big spheres there, aren't you? With Nick Luck on Saturday, Dave Kellner.
Yeah, there'd be nothing between them in terms of their quality of presentation, would there?
No, not at all.
No, not much.
Yes, anyway. We're going to look at the questions of the Racing Post Monday jury very shortly. Sure. That's all focusing largely on the return of the flat and so on and so forth. But before we do, a bit of jumps news that I want to just get your thoughts on as well. Q-Card, of course, pulled up in the Ryanair at the Cheltenham Festival. A lot of people suggesting that should be his last career outing. It's not going to be. We're going to see him again at Sandown in the Oaksy Chase Rally, and it's good to see him back on the track. Can have one last hurrah, and hopefully it will be a nice send off for him.
Yeah, there's likely to be a smaller field, a bit of decent ground. The way that he's ridden at the moment, you know, he's gone from the front as he was at Sandown in the Ascot Chase, where he only just got picked off by waiting patiently. Sandown should suit him if he can get into a rhythm. For whatever reason, he just didn't fire at Cheltenham. It came hot on the heels of that Ascot race, in which he put so much in. It was not a great surprise that he bounced and recoiled off that a little bit. Hopefully be freshened up. He's got a few weeks off, and it looks a fitting finale for him as well. It'll add further luster to a good weekend's action. It's a cracking day's racing now, that Saturday at Sandown's, a proper end of season jumps feel as well. They present all the trophies to, you know, the winning trainer, winning, you know, leading jockey, etc., etc., and it, you know, it has a really nice sort of symmetry to it. And, you know, fingers crossed he can go out in one piece, which is the most crucial thing. I think it's right that connections should determine when is the right time to retire Q-Card, because if the general public had had their way, he probably would have been retired about eight, and we'd have missed three great years with him, you know. So I think these are the people that see him on a day-to-day basis. They've seen him for 8-9 years now down at the they know exactly what signs, and he was showing great signs, and he worked as well as ever he's ever done apparently prior to that Ascot Chase. So those are the people that the Tizzards and the people surrounded with the horse are the people to listen to when it comes to when or where he should run.
And yeah, hopefully all goes to plan. Nice send off for him, and then he could have a long and happy retirement, all being well.
But he's been an astonishing horse. He deserves that, doesn't
great,
he?
Hasn't he? Yeah. So that's a little bit of jumps news. Let's concentrate on the Monday jury now then. Questions surrounding the weekend action and the return to the flat, and a little bit of a glance ahead to some of the stuff coming up as well. So the first question, would you expect Lincoln winner Adebe to cut the mustard in group races? There's a lot of talk after the race, Sam, about him being one of those handicappers, group horses masquerading in a handicap.
Yeah.
I was concentrating so much on saying masquerading that I forgot how to talk for the rest of the sentence.
You forgot which order to put it in. Very easily done as well, Walt. Yeah, he was tremendously impressive. I really fancied Lord Glitters because I felt that he... not many horses could do what Lord Glitters managed to do last year at Ascot at a couple of starts. Literally come from last and win one and finish second in another very competitive handicap. And yet Adebe made him look like a selling plater in that last furlong and a half at Doncaster. I watched all of Adebe's performances last year. He looked more of a lengthener, a grinder, a galloper to me. Saturday, he looked like a potential superstar. He's travelled for fun through the race, put it to bed with a rasping turn of foot, and if he can manage to reproduce that sort of level of performance on a faster, sounder surface, he's going to be a very interesting conveyance stepping into Pattern Race Company this year. He's certainly got some size and scope. A lot of those horses of William Haggis's that have gone on and won the Lincoln have turned out to be pretty useful horses in their own right further down the line, and there's going to be more required of him. He won a Lincoln off 99, so he's going to have to improve again, you know, even to win in another handicap of 110 or whatever his revised mark is. But he just looks to have an air of quality about him, doesn't he?
He does, he does. And what did you make of the possible, possibly Lockinge-bound Zabiel Prince, also won on the card at Doncaster?
Yeah, I mean, are you saying to me what sort of price is he going to be for a Group 1 at Newbury? He's probably still going to be a fair price, isn't he, on the back of that performance at Doncaster. But what I liked about it was that 4-5 run a race for a horse that had been keen and exuberant through his races last year wasn't always going to be the best of tests for him. Yeah, I thought he really came through, you know, with flying colours. He was one of few probably in the race that handled the ground properly. And if he came up soft at Newbury, then you would give him a fair chance. He's always been held in very high esteem. He's a, you know, big, robust horse as well that was always going to be better this year rather than last. He was a bit of a shell of a horse last year. He was well looked after. Roger Varian's brilliant with these horses, bring them through slowly, patiently, just overseeing their education, not overfacing them. It was a lovely starting point for him. He clearly well suited by a mile on a straight track with a bit of cut in the ground, all of which he'll get at Newbury if he does go for that Lockinge. But you just don't know what Ballydoyle are going to run, you know, Sir Michael Stout, blah, 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 John Gosden. You know, there's a raft of good trainers that are going to pitch horses in at that level.
Which horses are you most looking forward to seeing on the flat season? Oh, an open floor of that one.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. There is one horse of Sir Michael Stout's, a filly I was really taken with at the back end last year. I think it was on Filly's Mile Day at Newmarket, a horse called Voracious, who is a Frankel filly. I think she's related to Intimation and Mutakaev, who's, you know, pretty useful horse, or very useful horses in their own right. She just struck me as the kind of horse that could go for one of the sort of early season trials, and I wondered whether she'd have the ability and the quality to then progress into the Guineas. Yeah, Voracious, VER. And just a horse, I was just really taken with her performance. That I think the dogs were barking for a first time out, and she was not knocked about in a race that I think Magnolia Springs won at Newbury. But the second performance was the one that really stamped her as a horse possibly of, you know, really good quality for this year. You know, she put good distances between herself and the second Winter Lightning, a Godolphin runner. And I was really taken with her, and I think there'll be a bit more to come. She's already proved that Newmarket's dip holds no terrors for her. She should appreciate the miles. She's by Frankel, and she's out of Infallible as well. So really well related, out of a pivotal mare by Frankel. I mean, she's, you know, beautifully, beautifully related to one or two good horses and beautifully bred as well. So hopefully there'll be more to come from her this year.
Mm. Voracious, then, the one to keep an eye on this season. I've got the obvious ones, of course. Great to see what Enable will do this time around.
Yeah,
you've got Gustav Klimt, who was a very exciting young horse last year who showed bags of ability.
See how he
develops.
Yeah.
So you've got the obvious ones in there as well. But, yeah, I like that. A little bit left field with Voracious.
I think when some, you know, when you get asked the question this time of year, you know, have you got a dark horse or something like, you know, I try and find something that perhaps hasn't been touted elsewhere that... And there's a host of them, isn't there? There's probably a ton of some Art Prescott three-year-olds that are going to improve for having three runs around Wolverhampton over 5 furlongs and go over a mile and a half. But she looks one that's got a bit of quality, and she's with the top team, obviously, Sir Michael Stout as well.
Give us a fancy or two for Good Friday or on Dubai World Cup.
I must admit, with everything being at Newbury Saturday and obviously Cheltenham and blah de blah de blah, I haven't had a good look at the all-weather card yet. I'm really looking forward to it because I do like it. The one horse that I've sort of got on my mind for the 6 furlong conditions race, which they normally go hell for leather, and with the likes of, you know, Gracious John, Gifted Master, Catchy, and one or two others, Caspian Prince, all in opposition, the race might finally set up for Atletico, who has got a string of twos next to his name. But I do feel he's been, you know, a little unlucky. I mean, at Wolverhampton, on his penultimate start behind Reflector, he didn't get the run of the race. It was a very stop-start affair, and he did well to get within ahead of the winner that day. And he was only beaten in neck by Encore Dor, who got the run of the race as well last time over five furlongs. I think the step back up to six, strong pace, Lingfield, they should be ideal for him. He's got a bit to find with the likes of Gracious John and Catchy and one or two others who are higher rated than him. But I think with him, it's all about that blistering gallop and then, you know, coming through late with a late thrust, so to speak.
Nice set. Each way angle then for that on the Friday. Got that to look forward to later on in the week. Who are your picks for the jockeys' crowns in Britain and Ireland?
Okay, well, I haven't given the Irish one a lot of thought, if I'm honest. Sylvester D'Souza's odds on as well, I think, for our championship. I think I might have seen somewhere in the press that William Hill are doing betting like on a handicap basis with a start. Whether that's going to be public knowledge soon or not, I don't know. But I think I saw somewhere that there was some betting that PJ McDonald with a 45 start. Oh, we have got it.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, if you go to the William Hill website, click on horse racing, then click on specials. It's called Flat Jockey Handicap.
So right. Okay. Well, he's 14-1 PJ plus 45. I think that's pretty fair. I mean, James Doyle plus 60 has attracted plenty of support, but you know, some of these guys will spend a lot of time out of the country. They'll go to France. You know, James Doyle obviously rides for Godolphin a fair bit. Is he going to be really keen on riding at Catterick on a Monday afternoon or Brighton on a Monday afternoon? That's open to question. Sylvester will be, but he's off scratch. Andrea at Zany said that he'll give it a good go. He's plus 40. You could certainly entertain him. Whether Jim Crowley would still be keen enough to do it, I don't know. PJ's got a link with Mark Johnson this year. He's probably one of the predominant riders in the north now. And I just thought, plus 45, that's quite a chunk of winners. Of course, it doesn't start till, is it Guineas weekend, is it? Yeah, 5th of May. Which I still find ludicrous, but there we go. One of those ideas, I think you look back in 10 or 15 years' time, and you think, do you remember when the Flat Championship started on the 5th of May, even though the turf season started on the 21st of March? Anyway, that's by the by. But 45, decent start for PJ. And you know that if the hunger's there, and it seems to be, that he could follow in the lines of a number of jockeys that have done exceptionally well under both codes. You know, obviously Jim Crowley has won this title, and he was a jumps jockey himself. And PJ's got that strength, drive, ambition. That's half the battle when you're trying to identify a winner in this field.
I wouldn't know off the top of my head, but how far off the pace was Ryan Moore last year? Because I know he never goes for the title, but he's still never that far away.
No,
is he?
He isn't.
And if PJ McDonald's getting 45 there and Ryan Moore's getting 50,
yeah,
at 14-1, is that not?
It could be. But it just tells you that, you know, it's all about ambition, isn't it?
Yeah.
And willing to work hard and you know, double up with the meetings as well. And I think from what I'm hearing, PJ is keen to do that. So yeah, Ride in the afternoon, ride in the evening. Now, is Ryan going to do that?
No, well, obviously. You know, yeah,
if it's a Sandown evening card, is he going to go to Lingfield in the afternoon and then on to Sandown? Possibly not.
I get the point of that, yeah.
Anyway, but you're right. Plus 50 is a fair chunk for a rider of his class, isn't it? And of course, bans and injuries come into it as well. But, you know, fingers crossed that you get a good run out of PJ then.
I like that. That's an interesting market. I didn't know we had that on the site. So good shout there. We do have some other specials on there as well. We've got Top Lady Jockey as well, Top Female Flat Jockey, and so on and so forth. So you can check those out.
What's the betting on those? Hayley plus 35, Josie Gordon off scratch, Holly Dor plus 20, Nicola Curry plus 30. You see, she's different class to me, Nicola Curry. I think she's excellent. And I can't quite understand why she's the same sort of handicap as Jane Elliott, Rachel Richardson, Megan Nichols. Megan's going to ride a few two-year-olds this year because she's got a few. Paul Nichols is going to train a few this year.
Yeah,
but like for me, that Nicola Curry, I almost think she's on a par with Holly Doyle now, and she's plus 20, Holly Doyle. And I don't know. I mean, Hayley Turner plus 35 is probably quite a big price. Just depends on the links that she's going to have.
Yeah,
but
she's going to be based in France mainly, isn't she?
She is. That's the problem, isn't it? And Josie's off scratch.
Yeah,
I think Nicola Curry, she's still got the claim, so she could be one of those. She's definitely going to have a little bit of a dart in, at the apprentice title as well. Yeah, 8-1 for her, plus 30. I think that's a fair. You know, she she's going to be busy as well. And I like the way she talks. I like the cut of her jib, as you like to say.
I do. It's my favourite phrase.
I think she's strong as well. Very strong. I wouldn't be against having a bit of 8-1 about her with the 30 start.
Let's go for an ambitious double here.
Can we have the each way double? 14s and 8s.
I'm going to see. Yeah. They won't let you double them up. Singles only.
Oh, they won't let you do a double.
No.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Was it about 130 odd, 135 to one double? Is it something like that?
Something like that. Yeah. Nice.
Mm.
Well, there you go. That's a much more in depth.
You put Nicola Curry on top of PJ there on the double.
Yeah, of course.
Just on the doubles. Okay.
Final question of this week's Monday Jory. Who are the apprentices that we should watch out for this year?
Oh, well, this is always a really interesting. We haven't got any betting on the apprentice title, have we? Because I should imagine that's a bit niche, really, I suppose. Jason Watson's a lad that I've sort of been championing a little bit on the all-weather. I think he's excellent. Nicola Curry, still an apprentice.
Yeah.
And there's another lad called Joshua Bryan, who I think is with Andrew Balding, which has often been a pathway to great things, as Will Buick will testify, and any number of other lads. And I think, you know, the likes of him and Ross O'Ryan and those sort of people are going to get good opportunities. But Joshua Bryan, I think he's related to the Bowens, Sean and James. I think he might be cousin of them. And I think he's pretty talented. And Andrew Balding's been very, very keen to preserve his claim. So I think that could be a tip in itself.
There you go. Put that name in the notebook. Then that is the Monday
Still claims five, I think.
For another week. Thank you. We'll leave that there. We'll get stuck into some of the action coming up on Tuesday as well, because that's why Sam's here mainly. As much as I've enjoyed the chat, Sam, let's have some winners out here now.
Oh, well.
We're going to look at two races at Southwell taking place on Tuesday. The first of them is the 3 o'clock, a 5 furlong sprint handicap. It's for 3-year-olds and older, rated 0-65. What's caught your eye on there?
Well, King Street Lady obviously won last time out a couple of weeks ago, is a good starting point, but she's drawn 7. So towards the near side rail, and that's been a very dead rail in recent times in these sprints, and I prefer something sort of down the middle of the track or over on the far side a little bit more. And I think Archimedes could be an interesting conveyance. Yes, he's off 66, which is historically has been quite a tough mark for him to manage to justify, but he beat 5 or 6 starts ago King Street Lady quite smoothly under Andrew Mullen. Obviously his mark then went up. He was tried over 6 furlongs, which didn't work out. He beat Crossfire, who then went on a great run of form. And he was 4th in a really hot Class 3 handicap, won by Fool Lad, who's a bit of a Southall specialist, back in February. His last two runs, he hasn't acquitted himself with any great shakes, particularly, but they've been in a better grade than this. Class 5, Class 4 handicaps. He's now back into what I regard as his, you know, very much his grade, Class 6 handicap, 0-65. He's now off 66. He's come down 5 for that last performance when he was a 25-1 poke. And let's be honest, it didn't look as though that the day was the day, was it, in that Class 4 handicap won by the resurgent Crossfire. So the fact that he's back in off 66, he's in a 0-65, which he can obviously run in if the race doesn't fill. And he could be an interesting one at a price, I think, with Dave Griffiths doing so well with his sprinters this winter.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, because you look at his Class 6 form, and if you take out the recent runs, he's coming into this winning form, and he's sneaking into a 0-65 when he really shouldn't. So
I think anything over 5, 6-1 is very fair, and that looks like being roughly the tissue price. So it'd be interesting to see what price Hill's put him in at.
Archimedes, the pick then, in that 3 o'clock at Southwell. And we move over to the 4 o'clock next, which is a 7 furlong handicap. Class 3 event, this one. It's for 3-year-olds and older, rated 0-90. And looks a pretty warm race as well. Look forward to this on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a cracking heat. There's definitely a couple to keep an eye on with a view to the future. Towlands Park being one of those. Now, whether he actually wants to go round a fibre sand track is open to question. But keep an eye on him once the handicapper starts to offer a little bit of leniency. You've got Hammergun in here, who was 2nd behind Mr. Music in a race 6 days ago, in which Holiday Magic was also placed. He was 3rd with Nathan Evans on board. Now, Mr. Music has just been a total revelation. For a 9-year-old to go on a winning spree as he has been phenomenal bit of training from Tony Carroll. He's now up to 92. Ali Beach rode him to good effect all winter and rode him really well to beat Hammergun last time. But I do think the unlucky horse of the race really was Holiday Magic, who got trotted up before the start because he got like a case of string halt. So he's, which means that his leg lifts up in a rather, when they're walking around at the start, his leg is lifting up in a rather awkward fashion. If ever you've seen a horse with string halt, it's incredible. It's almost, imagine John Cleese doing the Ministry of Funny Walks, and that's how it looks. He got beat two necks. He didn't get the clearest of passages in the straight. And I wonder whether Nathan Evans went into the race with a little bit of a negative mindset because of the fact that he jumped off him at the start. The vet had a look at him. He was trotted up, etc. So that was a pretty hot contest again. He's got a reverse placings, obviously, with Hammergun, who's a standing dish round here, and you wouldn't really want to back anything else, place only, and Mr. Music. But I think there is a win in Holiday Magic if the cards drop right for him. Volatile's the other horse that we haven't mentioned, who has been knocking out some tremendous figures on the sand this year. And he beat Holiday Magic two starts ago. That was a fortnight ago. But he's drawn one, which isn't ideal. And Holiday Magic is drawn on his outside. Has had a run since to keep him ticking over. And I always feel those horses that sometimes they've been off for 2 weeks. What has the trainer done with them in the interim? When you've had 6 or 7 days off, you probably have one little spin out on, you know, 3 days before the race, and then you come to the races. A fortnight, you've actually almost got to have an easy week and then a proper bit of work. And it's sometimes a difficult passage, that fortnight. I've heard one or two trainers say that it's a difficult to keep them on their peak, you know, for that sort of time frame. So I'll go with Holiday Magic anyway. Hopefully he'll be an each way price and we'll be able to back him accordingly.
Holiday Magic in the 4 o'clock then, to go along with the 3 o'clock, where Sam went with Archimedes. Top stuff as always, Sam. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thanks, Mark. We'll need it.
There you go, the thoughts of Sam Turner on Tuesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio, 1:50 p.m. start time. Gordon Brown, Leona Mayer and Gary Capewell in the studio for Hereford, Southwell and Newcastle. That runs all the way through until the evening as well. So do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.